I got a need for speed. Welcome to Quarantine Anima, the only podcast where we don't know how to say the name of the show. My name is Connor Sullivan. Thank you very much for joining us today. Semi-special episode today. So, as I mentioned last week, this is going to be the last episode maybe for two-ish weeks or so. There's definitely not going to be one next week, and then potentially might not be another one the week after that. Reason is I'm getting married next weekend, so yee-haw for marriage. But anyway, last week I didn't really get to go through a bunch. Said I was going to try and do a bigger thing this week. Honestly, just didn't really have time. Much more time either, so but it was kind of nice. So today in Massachusetts, it was like 90 something degrees out, very muggy and just gross to be outside. So it was a perfect day to, well, not a perfect day, I do feel a little bit guilty about it, but it was a great day to just kind of stay horizontal and watch movies all day. I pretty much woke up around like 7 or so, and then from like 8 until, call it like 2 or 3. I think I did a triple, header of movies today, which was nice, because I don't remember the last time I did something like that. But anyway, the featured movie we're going to be talking about is one of the most popular movies in American cinema, and that would be Top Gun, the original from 1986. Also have a couple other movies I want to talk about at some point. At some point being later on in the episode. We're going to talk about Forgetting Sarah Marshall, which we've done before, and The Replacements as well. And a French film that came out last year. The Cannes Film Festival is going on right now, and I think this film won the Palme d'Or last year. Titan, I believe it's is the French pronunciation of it. So we have some things to talk about. All right, so let's get in to Top Gun. So Top Gun, obviously one of the most popular movies in American history. It was the highest grossing movie of 1986. It was a big role movie for Tom Cruise, Val Kilmer as well. Movie also features the likes of Tom Skerritt, Michael Ironside, Anthony Edwards, early role for Tim Robbins as well. Meg Ryan's in there, also Kelly McGillis. So some good, this is a, it was it's a very dated movie in my opinion. Like I the movie is essentially a, it really, I don't want to say propaganda, that's not the right word, but it really is almost like a commercial for the U.S. Navy and like their fighter pilot program. It's not that it's like a bad movie by any means, but and this is maybe like the second time I've ever seen it, and I haven't seen it in at least 10 years or so. So it's really the first time I've seen it as like an adult. I still don't get why this movie is as culturally relevant as it is today. You know, obviously, you know, Top Gun came out in the 80s, so you know, different time. So I'm sure, like, the action scenes in this one are a little, I didn't think they're particularly interesting. I mean, there's only so much they could really do, you know, given the time. But the fact that it was as popular as it was, and like left such a staple on American pop culture, and you know, Top Gun is like one of those movies where it's like, everyone, like, whether or not you've seen the movie, you've seen Top Gun. Like, you get it. Like, you know, everyone knows Goose Dies. Everyone knows about Iceman and Maverick and all the little nicknames they have. Everyone knows, you know, Danger Zone from Kenny Loggins. Everyone knows, you know, a bunch of the quotes in the movies, the Need for Speed, the, I mean, it's just one of those movies that, like, if you haven't seen the movie, it's been recycled in other pieces of, you know, pop culture in so many different ways over the years, whether it's film, TV, commercials, print, I mean, memes, Like, it's a movie that really has left a bigger footprint than, you know, 99.9% of other movies that go out there. Like, it's not quite on the level of, like, maybe, like, a Star Wars or a, I don't know, like, a Godfather or something like that. But, I mean, it's remarkable, really, just how this movie that I honestly don't feel is that great was able to leave the impact that it did. And, like, there's always, you know, yes, it was the highest grossing movie of 1986, but that doesn't necessarily equate to, and it was probably one of the highest grossing movies of the 80s, actually. I should probably look that up, but I'm probably also not going to. Just because it's popular from it's the highest grossing movie of a year at some point, that doesn't always necessarily translate to it being culturally relevant. Like, if we remember Avatar, which I think we spoke about on a recent episode, that was the highest grossing movie of all time, and it's almost never parodied or mentioned in any other content, like, ever. Like, it was a huge thing for like 6 months when it came out, and then it just kind of fizzled into obscurity. Like, if you watched it on FX, because it's on there a lot, you know, and just a rerun of it, I don't know. There's no, like, I don't know, like, Avatar, just merchandising never really took off. There was no extended universe. Like, yeah, there's going to be, what, 4 movies coming out in the next 8 years or something like that, starting with this fall, or this December, I believe. So, yeah, it's just a sign that, like, money doesn't always lead to, like, it leaves an impact. But Top Gun very much left an impact. And I think part of it's also, you know, if you look at so it came out in the era, so, it, you know, in the 80s. So any filmmakers who were growing up during that era, they probably wouldn't have, you know, gotten the opportunity to really start making an impact until, like, the 90s, maybe the early 2000s. So I think that's where, you know, we started seeing it become more and more, like, mentioned in other TVs and shows, and it's often parodied and things like that. Like, it's kind of, you know, Goose Dies is, I feel like, one of the worst kept spoilers in movie history. And I don't feel bad about revealing that at all, because, again, the movie's been out for almost 40 years at this point. I will say, you know, for a movie that's about to turn 40, let's see, 1986, it's 2022, so it's closer to 45, or 35, I guess. But the movie still looks decent, you know, given the time, but just also just the way it's shot with the sound effects and the, you know, plot choices and just the dialogue and everything like that, it is very much like an 80s movie. It is a 1980, it's the middle of the 80s, it's heavy, you know, synth music, a lot of just, you know, good looking white guys running around, you know, just, I don't know. It's a very dated movie, in my opinion. But I mean, as for, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the movie itself. So I don't believe it's really that great of a movie. And I think part of it is also, a lot of it is just because the story isn't particularly interesting. Maybe it just doesn't translate well over the years. That was the point I was making before. Goose Dying, that's one of the worst kept secrets or spoilers in American, like, movies. I feel like it's like that and Bruce Willis is a ghost in The Sixth Sense. And like that, like everybody knows those two movies. Even if you haven't seen the movie, you know the movie, at least the ending of it. But as for the plot of this movie, you know, it's, you know, Tom Cruise and Anthony Edwards play some hotshot fighter pilots who get selected to be in this elite training program for the Navy. And, you know, just egos and attitudes run high and whatnot. Like, a lot of the conflict in the movie, though, it's like, like, it's all training exercises. Like, there's very few stakes, I guess. And then, you know, you mix in what feels like a very forced, like, love story. And then, yeah, I mean, a very forced volleyball scene, which is, you know, Tom Cruise oiled up playing volleyball in jeans, which is something to, that's one of the, I know that that's like one of the scenes that everyone like point looks at this movie and points to, but it's still very bizarre to watch. Like even now I was watching it, I was just like, what were they thinking? Like what does this add to the movie? And like I get it. Like, you know, all the guys are oiled up and whatnot, and it's, you know, for it's for the audience, but it doesn't really do anything for the plot of the movie. And yeah, I mean, like I said, the action sequences aren't, I don't find particularly interested. I mean, part of that's also just like, it doesn't, just action, the way it's shot and executed, and you know, it, with advancements in, you know, visual effects and whatnot, it's just the way this movie looks today. Like, obviously it was very much like they did what they could at the time. There's some cool shots in there, don't get me wrong. Like anytime they like hook a camera up to one of the planes and you see it, you know, like the aerial view, like from the you know, the bird's eye view, I guess. Like, those are cool shots, don't get me wrong. But just so many of the scenes are just, I don't know, it just looks cheesy by today's standards. And again, like, action has come a long way in cinematography and editing and visual effects and, you know, all that stuff. Like, the things that would make this movie great, I feel like, I don't want to say the movie's ahead of its time, because it's not. It was very of its time. there's a sequel coming out. That's why I actually watched it. Top Gun Maverick. It's actually getting like really, really good reviews. Like, people are saying it's one of the best sequels ever made. Which, you know, it's a comparison that I'm seeing get thrown around is Mad Max Fury Road. Which, you know, signed me up for that. So that's what actually made me want to revisit this in the first place. But like today, like I'm like, when you have all the resources and technology that you have today, I think that there's a potential to make a really, really amazing movie, which it sounds like they have. It's gotten universal praise so far from, you know, critics that have seen it. I think, I don't know if audiences have gotten seen it at Cannes yet, but it's coming out next weekend. So, don't know when I'm going to be able to go see it. Cause you know, I'm getting the whole marriage thing, but I definitely do want to go see it in theaters. So what else is in the movie? Tom Cruise, you know, it's one of the biggest roles of his career. You know, Maverick's probably, I don't know, Tom Cruise is like, I feel like Maverick's probably like the most recognizable character he ever played. I mean, and I mean, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, for the last 40 years or so, he's made so many great movies. But then, you know, he has the Mission Impossible franchise, but he also has a lot of his dramatic work that he's done over the years. You know, there's Jerry Maguire and Magnolia and, God, why am I blanking on Tom Cruise movies all of a sudden? A Few Good Men. But then you get, and like his Spielberg stuff, War of the Worlds, and, oh shit, what's the one where he can like predict murders in the future or something like that? Ah, you know the movie. You guys know what I'm talking about. Damn, that's actually gonna, alright, we're getting sidetracked. That's gonna eat away at me until I can figure out what movie that is. I'll just name some more Tom Cruise movies in the meantime. Last Samurai, that's a great movie. Eyes Wide Shut, not a great movie, but it's there. There's Vanilla Sky. Minority Report, thank you, that's the one. Minority Report. And we've talked about Tom Cruise actually on here before. I think it was, we might have been talking about Tropic Thunder a while back, maybe. I'm trying to think what other Tom Cruise movie it would have been. But we were saying that, you know, over the last decade, maybe decade plus, he's really gone away from, you know, a lot of these dramatic roles, and it's very big action franchise kind of base roles, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that because, you know, he is putting out good content. You know, he really is one of the biggest movie stars of all time. And you know, the frequency of which his movies come out has definitely gone down for sure. But it's not like a Will Smith, you know, kind of career where it's like he was like the top dog for like he had a peak and a very, very high peak, and then just a drop down and just became completely irrelevant, and then eventually won an Oscar and slapped a comedian on stage. You know, it's not like that. Like he's always done really good work, even if it takes, you know, if it means taking on fewer projects and taking more time to do the movies the way that, you know, he needs to do them. But at the same time, like, he hasn't done just like a straight, like, dramatic role. Aside from maybe like American Made in 2017, which I admit I haven't seen. But aside from that, like, look at this. He's got Top Gun Maverick, Mission Impossible, Fallout in 2018. So, you know, it's been 4 years since his last movie even came out. The Mummy, Jack Reacher, another Mission Impossible, Edge of Tomorrow, Oblivion, Jack Reacher, Rock of Ages. So, like, really, Rock of Ages is just the first time. And, I mean, even that was a big... Yeah, it's a big musical production. So, like, it's been over a decade. Well, really, if you count American Made, it's been, like, one... In the last decade, he's really had, like, one dramatic role, which is interesting. Because if you go back and you look, like, at his career... And, you know, while he was coming... Oh, it was Magnolia. That's the movie that we were talking about this on, the episode we did. So if you want to go back and listen to our review of Magnolia, which was actually the first time I had seen that movie. So go check that one out if you want to go dig through the archives. Yeah, like the 90s, I mean, he was incredible. Like, absolutely incredible in the 90s. You know, like I said, Jerry Maguire, A Few Good Men, there's, of course, Born on 4th of July, Rain Man. I know that's back in the 80s, but, you know, the original Mission Impossible movie. I mean, like, back at that area, like, he was, you know, the guy. Or, you know, he's on the Mount Rushmore of, like, you know, biggest actors in the world. And he's gone away from that, and I would love to see him get back into... like a dramatic role at some point. Like, just, I want to see him hook up with like a great director, and something that he could just, you know, chew the scene, like a scene apart. Like, you know, like, imagine if Tom Cruise got like a supporting role in like a Quentin Tarantino movie. You have any idea how fucking cool that would be? Yeah, I mean, he's doing his action thing, and, you know, it's not like the movies stink or anything like that. So it's, you know, it's tough to, you know, complain about the guy. I just wish we'd saw a little more of it. And, I mean, let's call it as it is. He's not going to be able to do this stuff forever. You know, the kind of stunts that he does. But he seems committed to it. So more power to him. He really is, I mean, like, look, say what you want about the guy. All of his personal stuff. But he does make good content, and he's, I think, a very, I don't know. I mean, he's not like on my like short list of like my favorite actors, but like he's got a really high batting average when it comes to the movies he puts out. Like Edge of Tomorrow is a fucking incredible movie. Actually, I haven't seen that movie in a long time, but that blew me away the first time I saw it. Yeah, so Tom Cruise, wish we'd see a little more of him every now and then. Some of the rest of the cast, Val Kilmer, we talked about him a little bit last year. We did an episode on The Doors. Sometime in the past, maybe six-ish months or so. We did an episode on The Doors, which you can go back and check out. But we also did one of the rapid-fire reviews we did at one point was for the documentary about Val Kilmer that came out called Val, which was a really, really cool insight into his life. Basically, he's just been documenting himself since he was pretty much his entire life. And today he's... I'm not sure what the disease... It might have just been throat cancer. But he basically can't speak anymore. He has to use one of the, what is it, tracheectomy things. I'm not 100% sure what the term is. But yeah, so his acting days are over, basically. But this is one of the roles he gets most noticed for sure. And you know, in the documentary, he speaks about how it's not really even a movie that he wanted to do or particularly liked, but it's, you know, one of his. He doesn't have the career that he had without it. You know, it never really. He never would have had the commercial career that he did without the success of this movie. I mean, he's not, I don't want to say he's like the antagonist in the movie, but he's just like the rival. He's Tom Cruise's rival in the film. So, I mean, it's a meaty role, I guess, and he does a pretty decent job, but at the same time, it's just like, it's very like 80s, like he's got the spiked up blonde hair, and it's very much like a like he's just I'm mean. With no like rhyme or reason to it. I don't know. So it was, I don't know, he's fine in it. Rest of the cast, Anthony Edwards, I know he went off and he had a big career in ER. I don't really know anything else that he did. I don't recognize the face that well. I don't, yeah, like I'm looking at, I mean, he's like looking at his IMDb, he did like Revenge of the Nerds, but now it's like if you go through his IMDb credits recently, it's a lot of TV work. Yeah, like he's in Inventing Anna, Designated Survivor, some Law and Order, Blue Bloods. Yeah, so he's not really like safe to say he's on the back nine of his career. He's in Zodiac. Oh, okay, yeah, okay. I take that back. I know who he is in Zodiac. So, but yeah, just a lot of TV work for him, it sounds like. Spent a lot of time on ER. All right. And then Tim Robbins, early role for him, but he doesn't really get a ton of face time. He's just kind of like in it, and he's got a, you know, mask on his face while he's in it. So not a ton for him to do. All right, so let's move on. All right, let's get to some Did You Knows about Top Gun. There's a bunch of them. I don't know if the amount of Did You Know facts on this movie's IMDb page rivals just about any other movie out there. Like, I didn't finish it. I was reading this thing for like an hour, and I don't even think I was halfway through it. So, all right, let's get through to some Did You Knows. Okay, Tom Cruise had to wear lifts in his scenes with Kelly McGillis. Cruise is 5'7", while McGillis is 5'10". So that's one of like the funny, like, it's one of like the funniest things about Tom Cruise is, like, you know, he makes the movies he makes, and again, like we just talked about, like how he's made so many great movies over the years, but it's like the undeniable fact that he's a small man, just a short person, is always funny, because like with so many of his movies, like there's great behind the scenes photos lying around there somewhere where it's like, I think it was I'm trying to remember the movie. He did an action movie with Cameron Diaz, and there's a scene in the movie where the two of them are running beside one another. But like when you see the behind the scenes photo of it, you know, their feet aren't in the shot. But the behind the scenes photo, like Tom Cruise is running on a platform that's like 6 inches higher than Cameron Diaz's because she's so tall. So just like little stuff like that to me is funny. Also the Tom Cruise running. You know, that's always a popular one. I think he's contractually obligated to run in every single one of his movies, and there's a lot of different supercuts out there of Tom Cruise running, which is always funny to me. All right. Moving on. Oh, this is a good one. All right. For the opening of the film, director Tony Scott wanted to shoot aircraft taking off and landing on the aircraft carrier, backlit by the sun. The carrier captain had changed course of the ship, and when Scott asked if the ship could continue on the previous course and speed, he was told that turning the ship would cost $25,000. Scott then wrote the captain a quick $25,000 check so the ship could be turned and he could keep shooting for another 5 minutes. According to Scott, the check bounced. So, that's just, like, that's So for those of you who don't know, they use a lot of real like naval equipment in the movie. And actually, like, this is something that I think we might have mentioned on some other episodes, particularly if there's a war movie out there. But so the U.S. government is typically very cooperative with Hollywood studios when they're trying to make you know, military movies, because they want, you know, they use it as basically, I don't want to say like, it is part of like recruiting, like showing what, you know, the military does, so to speak. So, you know, when it comes to, you know, like, hey, can we use tanks and, you know, helicopters and planes and all this stuff? Like, I've heard more often than not that they're usually very accommodating. Like, obviously there's money associated with it. Like, they're not just going to give you access to all this stuff. And as we like can see from this one, but like, it's, I just think it's funny that like, they're just like, all right, well, we can do that, but it's going to be $25,000. And then Tony Scott's just like, yeah, sure. Here you go. Have it. So, always just, I don't know. Those are the cool, like, behind-the-scenes things in Hollywood that I always just get a kick out of. All right. Last one. Last did you know here. Oh, come on. The elevator scene in which Maverick and Charlie meet after his workout was filmed post-production. Kelly McGillis's hair had already been colored for another movie role, which is why she's wearing a hat. Tom Cruise's hair is longer in the shot as well. So this is what I was alluding to before, where there's like this forced romance in there. I mean, to me, they don't really have great chemistry, Kelly McGillis and Tom Cruise. And like this scene in particular, like it's very obvious when they're doing some of these scenes where like it's just all the guys are like oiled up and like it's clearly just like a, like, look how hot these people are sort of thing. But like, it's just, it's obvious when they're, you know, when they're doing that. So, and this scene, like, did stick out. It was a little just odd to me. But, like I said, I mean, the romance as a whole in this movie just didn't really play for me. I also just didn't love the movie. It's, it is what it is. Very, very much of the time, though. And I think, There's a sex scene in there too that I think they had to go back and reshoot, but it's a PG movie, so it's only, you can only be so sexy. All right, well, that's gonna do it for Top Gun. I'm gonna give Top Gun just a, I'm gonna be a little tough on this one. I'm gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5 hazmats. It's funny, like, I feel like I spoke pretty positively about it, and then I give it one of the lower grades that we've seen. But like, honestly, like, the story's just not that interesting to me, and like, it's very dated. And like, even like the scenes like Need for Speed kind of thing, like the, like that scene is completely out of context. Like, there's no reason for them to say, be saying stuff like that. It's also just like a genre that's been tried and true, you know, the Maverick, so to speak, who's, you know, like this bad boy who doesn't play by the rules and is, you know, haunted by his own insecurities and traumatic past and things like that, and you know, he needs to be humbled by something. It's a story we've seen thousands and thousands of times, so it's, to me, it's just not that interesting. The action scenes to me were all just a little cheesy. That being said, I am very excited to see the new one. It looks incredible. It's getting really great reviews. So very, very excited to see Top Gun Maverick. All right, let's get to some rapid fire reviews. Like I said, we have 3 movies to discuss. First one, let's talk about Forgetting Sarah Marshall. So I went basically right after Top Gun into Forgetting Sarah Marshall. I just, again, was doing nothing today. So I was like, you know what? I could use a little comfort movie right now. So it's on Netflix right now, so absolutely go see it again. The movie still holds up so well. The jokes are, there's just so many good jokes and bits throughout this movie, and obviously, like, I'm not just going to start rattling off jokes here, but I feel like it does translate really well to today. Like, there's some of the movies, like, from that era, and especially, like, you know, the Judd Apatow verse, where, you know, that, like, cast of guys, like the Jonah Hills, the Paul Rudds, the Jason Segels of the world. Some of the content, like, you watch it today, and you're just like, ooh, like, like, I don't know about that one anymore. Like, I don't know if that would fly today. I feel like most of the jokes in this movie still fly today, because, like, very few of them are, you know, there's not a ton of put-downs, per se. Like, they don't really go after, you know, groups of people, so to speak. Like, most of it is... it's all situational, but it's all, like... it's not like a Revenge of the Nerds kind of thing, where, you know, there's... You know, like, the gags that they're doing, or in Animal House, where it's, like, where Bluto's, like, sneaking into the girls' fraternity house and, like, spying, or sorority house and spying on them. Like, it's not that kind of situational humor. It's a lot of, like, it's just seeing people, like, a bunch of unique characters just react differently to one. Like, the Aldous Snow by Russell Brand is just an all-time hilarious character, and seeing his reactions to certain situations are just so funny. Like, the like, I don't know how many times I've seen this movie. I've often said it's one of my top three, you know, favorite comedies of all time. But, like, the scene where you know, we first see him speak, and he's like, he's looking for his shoe, his other one, and he's going around to people. He's like, hello, have you seen, like, another version of the shoe? It's not like, it's kind of like the opposite version of this one. Not necessarily, like, an evil version of it, but it looks similar. Just, it's like, and then there's, I mean, he's got the best lines in the movie, hands down. The, what is it? He's saying that, being on vacation with Sarah Marshall's, it's that he wouldn't say it's, like, Hitler, but it's certainly Goebbels. It's like a little holiday with Hitler. So, that whole bit is just too funny to me. So, perfect casting for Russell Brand there. But, I mean, Jason Segel's, I mean, his fingerprints are all over the movie. He wrote it. You know, a lot of his interests, excuse me, are, you know, peppered throughout the movie. So, it's just a perfect movie. It really is. It's a perfect comedy. It still translates well, I think. You know, Jonah Hill, Mila Kunis, Jack McBryer, Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd as Kunu is another great side character in this one. But I just love this movie, man. It really is one of my favorites. And doesn't matter how many times I see it, I still, like, openly laugh out loud at so many different parts of this movie. And, like, what's so great about it is there's so many good bits in there that you often find yourself laughing at one and miss the next one. And or you, like, you know a joke is coming, so you kind of, like, drop what you're doing and just, like, okay, it's coming, he's about to say it, like, oh, I was gonna listen to that, but then I just went on living my life or something like that. So it's like a good song. You know, it really is. Like, it's familiar, you can almost, like, sing along with it, you know, if you can speak along with it. I feel like I can anyway. The music is great. The songs are all very memorable, whether it's the Dracula musical or some of the Infant Sorrow stuff. So, just a perfect comedy. So, Forgetting Sarah Marshall, it's on Netflix right now. If you haven't seen it, you are very, very late to the party. It's been out for almost 15 years at this point, so get on that. All right, next up. The Replacements, also on Netflix. Right now, I did a Netflix triple header today. That's the kind of day I had, which are some of the best days, to be honest. So, The Replacements. I don't know if we talked about this movie before. I feel like we did a rapid fire reviews of it at some point, but I can't put my finger on when we would have. But it's a talk about an all time turn your brain off movie. And, you know, I talk about, you know, Top Gun, you know, dating itself to 1986. This movie is like 2000, underlined, italicized, bolded. Like, it is like everything from the style to the soundtrack to the, you know, the music, the brand of humor. It's very, it's very much a 2000 movie. But I was, I mean, a great cast, you know, Keanu Reeves, Gene Hackman, Jon Favreau, one of his funnier acting roles. Orlando Jones is in there as well. Rhys Ifan, is that how you say his name? I think it is. Brooke Langton. How do you say this guy's name? Yeah, Rhys Ifans. David Denman, Roy from The Office, before he was Roy. So yeah, it's a, I mean, it's a really good cast. Obviously, you know, it's if you don't like football, you're probably not going to get a kick out of this movie. But you know, as a football fan, I thought there were some good bits in there. The jokes don't, like, it's not a like a funny movie. It's more just like a like you'll like smile and be. It's an amusing movie. I guess you could say, you know, Shane Falco is a, you know, is a fun character to root for. Keanu Reeves, what a career Keanu Reeves has had, because like obviously he comes up as a teen star, you know, doing like Point Break and Bill and Ted and stuff like that, and then once he becomes an adult and he does The Matrix, and you know, he's really like an A-list actor. He just had such an interesting run of movies where I feel like he was like often like panned at the time for not being a great like a very great actor. And then something happened in the last like decade or so where people are just like, oh, Keanu Reeves, like we're all in on that guy again. So yeah, like he does The Matrix in 99. This comes out in 2000. Then you have Hardball in 2001. This movie and Hardball are two, very much two movies of the same. Like you could, they're both TNT, we know drama Hall of Famers, but they're comedies. You know, those are movies that I don't know how many times I've seen, you know, through syndication. Then there's a couple other Matrix movies in there. Constantine, Scanner Darkly, Street Kings, Day the Earth Stood Still. So it's like, I feel like The Lake House. How could I forget The Lake House? I feel like, yeah, so like he was in a string of, he was kind of all over the place with, like he did, he would do romances, he'd do action movies, he'd do, you know, a couple dramedies here and there. And then when John Wick comes out in 2014, that was like a flip switched where it was like, oh yeah, Keanu Reeves has always been great, even though like his movies weren't doing that great. Like I feel like he's a guy who a lot of people looked at and saw him, like he's attached to The Matrix and he was kind of like riding The Matrix wave, so to speak. But I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's fun to go back and like look at his career at that time, because like, yeah, is he the best actor in the world? No. Like, especially during that time, like not by a long shot, but he's in a lot of good movies. He's probably in more good movies than bad movies at that point in his career. So, but it's, but anyway, so The Replacements, it's just a fun ensemble sports comedy. Like I said, amusing, turn your brain off, kind of movie. You know, don't think about the logistics of, you know, the football or, you know, some of the character motivations and, some of the dialogue and whatnot. It's just a, it's just an entertaining underdog story movie. Like, you know, the way this movie's going to end the second it starts, and that's totally fine. You know, not every movie has to be a, not every movie has to be like the next one I'm going to talk about. Sometimes it's okay to just, you know, shut it off for a little bit, and just absorb some entertainment so you can turn your brain off for 2 hours. And that's what The Replacement does. Does it better than most movies. So, although, well, there are more entertaining movies, but it's still a good, like, I don't need to think about this kind of movie to me. All right, last up, Titan. I'm not sure if I'm saying that 100% properly because it's French. It's Titan E. So T-I-T-A-N-E. Titania? Maybe, I don't know, it's French. So like I said, before it won the Palme d'Or last year, it was a... it's a French film, and it's a little hard to describe without giving too much away, so I won't get too into it. But it's from director Julia Ducournau, who I believe is also French. It basically follows this character named Alexia, who you know, she suffers a, she's in a traumatic car accident as a kid, and she has this metal plate put in her head. And as she grows up, she's a showgirl at like car shows, and she gets involved in a string of murders at some point. And so she kind of goes on the run, and then once she goes on the run, that's where I don't want to get too into it, because if you want to see it, you know, give it a whirl. But it is, it's very French. It's a lot of existentialism in here, some a lot of fucked up visuals in here. So whether it's the violence, or you know, some of the gross out imagery, or some of the like sexual content in there, it's like it's a movie that doesn't pull any punches, for lack of a better term. And you'll walk out of it feeling a little dirty, just being like, huh, like, ew. But I mean, you know, I'm a lover of cinema. This was one of the bigger movies to come out last year, at least internationally. And it's finally available on Hulu now, so if you want to go check it out, I'd recommend that. But this movie's just not going to be for everybody. It's very much a fucked up, I don't even want to say drama, but it's it is a very, very fucked up tale, one that it's probably better to know less about going into it. But the way it's shot is beautiful. The color schemes they used, the, you know, cinematography and editing throughout is really, really, really well done. I remember seeing the trailer for it when it came out, and I was like hooked. I was like, this movie looks absolutely incredible, and yada yada yada. Maybe didn't match my expectations of it. It's only got a 6.6 on IMDb, so it's probably more of a film snob kind of thing. But I'd say if I had to give it vibes to an American movie, maybe Promising Young Woman. Aesthetically, yeah, I'd say it's probably pretty similar to that. So, so if you got a kick out of that one, maybe give this a shot. But again, this movie's not going to be for everybody. It can be a little tough to get through at times. So that's going to do it for Rapid Fire Reviews. All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Another programming note. I know I mentioned it at the top of the episode, but so we're definitely off next Monday. No episode coming out on Memorial Day next week. No episode at all next week. The following week, we'll see if I do one, just because we're going right from wedding to honeymoon, so I don't know if I'm even going to be able to like watch any movies during that time, and by the time I get back, who knows. So, TBD for that first week of June, if we get something, but when I come back, I'm sure we'll have lots and lots and lots to talk about, so... So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, like whatever I do watch, I'll still be on Twitter. I'll still, you know, put out, some quick rapid fire things there. So you can follow me at that guy Sul, for just tweets about movies and thoughts in general. And then if you want to follow the show's account, we're at QuarantinemaPod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as well. All right, well, that is going to do it for us this week. So, once again, as I mentioned, you can follow us on social media, but you can also subscribe to the show, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are heard, really, you can find us there. So, in the meantime, don't be a hero, stay inside, and watch a movie.